This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A measure in Springfield to preempt President Trump's actions on abortion is one vote away from heading to Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. My colleague Mawa Iqbal reports the bill would ensure access to mifepristone. This is the oral drug used to induce early-term abortions. And it would ensure that access even if the Food and Drug Administration were to no longer approve it. The bill would also safeguard health care licenses for abortion providers, building on protections passed by Democrats after Roe v. Wade fell. Illinois State Representative Dagmara Avalar is the House sponsor.
One of the things that we continue to hear over and over again from our constituents is, what are we doing as state legislators to protect democracy? And I think that for a lot of people, that means also protecting choice.
Democratic lawmakers have filed several bills in response to President Trump's executive orders. The Chicago Bears are reportedly shifting their focus back toward Arlington Heights as the site of the team's new stadium. Issuing a statement, the team says it has made significant progress with Arlington Heights leaders over the past few months. The Sun-Times reports the team is not seeking any state funding. The Bears, in 2023, had purchased the land that used to be the Arlington Racecourse and then turned its focus to building a domed stadium along Chicago's lakefront. The Bears are going to need to secure agreements with local taxing bodies on property taxes and some other finances before this can become a done deal. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has tapped the CEO of the Chicago Urban League and the CEO of the investment banking firm Loop Capital. He wants them to help solve the city's financial problems. Karen Freeman Wilson and Jim Reynolds will co-chair a working group. This group is supposed to find solutions to the city's more than $1 billion budget gap. That gap is expected next year. The Northwestern women's lacrosse team is heading to the Final Four for the sixth straight season. The Wildcats yesterday defeated the University of Pennsylvania in the round of eight. The score was 17-12. Madison Taylor scored six goals in that game and broke the NCAA single season scoring record. Taylor says even though her 105 goals and counting, this season may stand out, her focus is on more than just scoring.
I think I'm just like willing to do anything for the team to be successful, and whether that means passing, dodging, cutting through, all of that, all the little things, like, I'm willing to do, and whatever my role is that given day, I'll take it.
The Wildcats face Boston College next Friday in the Final Four. Northwestern has advanced to the National Lacrosse Championship game in each of the past 2 years. You're listening to The Rundown. The classical music world is gathering in Amsterdam this week for the third edition of the Mahler Festival. The celebration of the Bohemian-born romantic composer Gustav Mahler has drawn classical music fans from around the world. Now, last night, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performed at the festival, and this marks the first time a North American orchestra has participated. WBEZ contributor Hannah Edgar is attending this prestigious event, and it's going to be live-streamed. I got the details from Hannah. Tell us why this is such a big deal.
Well, it's only happened twice before in the last 100 years. The first one was in 1920, the second was in 1995, and the third was supposed to be in 2020, but it was deferred until now, 2025. So it really doesn't happen very often, and a lot of major world orchestras are all going to be in the same city, the city that meant a lot to Gustav Mahler, to play his symphonies one per night for 10 days. And it's going to be really exciting to just bask in the world of one composer, which we don't get to do a lot as audience.
A deep dive. Okay. So tell us a little bit about Mahler and why are people around the world convening to celebrate this one composer right now?
So Gustav Mahler was kind of like Leonard Bernstein was in the U.S. We know him or he was known in his lifetime rather, more as a conductor of mm-hmm. orchestras. But if he had his way, he would have been composing all the time, like Bernstein. So he pretty much made his living by conducting, but he was born Jewish, and that would have blocked the very highest echelon of conducting jobs to him. So he actually converted to Catholicism over his lifetime, and you hear in his music the many identities that he holds. Sometimes you hear a clarinet that sounds like klezmer. Sometimes you hear hymns that I would associate with the Christian church and the way the voices move.
What is it that sets him apart from other composers?
For me, it's the breadth of emotion and the breadth of instrumentation he uses. It's so unexpected. I'm thinking before the CSO left for Amsterdam in recent weeks, they've actually been playing 3 symphonies by Mahler. And in those, some of the instruments that appear are cowbells, mandolin. There's one recently that had 2 choirs, and in the one that they performed just before leaving for Amsterdam, there's a giant hammer even. It's completely not what you expect symphonies to sound like.
All right. Now, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra has this distinction as the first North American orchestra to perform at this Mahler Fest. What's the significance of the CSO's role in Mahler's prominence?
Yeah, so the CSO has played Mahler for most of its existence, but he really became associated with the CSO under the leadership of George Schulte. Schulte recorded all of the symphonies, and the 5th symphony in particular, which also happens to be the first symphony the orchestra ever played in 1907, really became, in Schulte's words, the orchestra's party piece. Okay. And it's significant, and I think not a coincidence, that when Klaus Mäkelä, the music director-to-be, was conducting the orchestra while it was looking for a music director, it was after his performance of the 5th 2 years ago that made the orchestra want to formally invite him to be its next music director.
I will never forget the first run-through of Mahler 5. I think it was February 2 years ago with this orchestra. And we played it through, and the very, very first chord after the trumpet plays, the whole orchestra responds, and the sheer power and intensity of that chord. I thought I lost all my hair. It was such an incredible impact.
That is a picture. That really does grab you, that moment that he describes. And you're going to get to go to Amsterdam, Hannah, to witness this spectacle firsthand. What are you going to be watching for?
Well, in that same conversation where Maestro Mäkelä said that to me, he also mentioned that the hall in which all of these orchestras are going to play is very unique. It's very resonant. So I'm curious to hear the CSO in that context. I'm also eager to hear Maestro Mäkelä conduct his quote-unquote other orchestra. He's actually taking over another orchestra the same year he takes over the CSO in 2027, and that is in Amsterdam. That's the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. So I get to hear him conduct that group in Mahler's 8th on my last night there, and I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
Contributor Hannah Edgar talking about Mahler Fest taking place in Amsterdam. And you can read about this prestigious classical music event on our website. Just head over to wbez.org/Mahler. And a quick note that the CSO is a financial supporter of WBEZ. Weather sunny, windy, very warm, a few showers and thunderstorms popping up later in the afternoon and into the evening, a high in the upper 80s, and then tonight a low of 54, and a beautiful weekend on tap, Saturday sunny and upper 60s, sunny and 60 on Sunday. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or just turn on the radio, 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.